Let's talk Celtics. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Very well, thank you. I'm trying to think of all that's happened since we spoke with you last. Well, let's start with the trade, the first move of the Brad Stevens era. What did you think?
I thought it was a good trade. Not anything monumental, but accomplished the goals the Celtics were trying to accomplish. It cut some salary. It brought back a useful player. It got the Celtics a look at a young player with some potential. So, you know, good. It wasn't. It's not something that you look at and you say, "Wow, I can't believe Brad Stevens pulled this off." But he had a very difficult job to do, and you know, he did it adequately.
Should and would the Patriots, the Celtics, have any interest in Ben Simmons?
Oh no,
good.
That's not going to work out for the Celtics. Mostly because the amount of money that it would take to get him. It's at this point, like, because Kemba is already gone, that took a way to match salaries away. But Ben Simmons is making $33 million next year. Like, they just got rid of a guy who makes $37 million. You bring in Ben Simmons at 33, there's just no way to get him without giving up a ton in matching. You'd have to give Al Horford back, and the Sixers already traded away Al Horford. So that's not going to happen. You're certainly not going to give up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. If you want a point guard who struggles shooting, you already have Marcus Smart at half that money. So, I mean, at least Marcus is willing to shoot and shoots at an okay enough level. Getting Ben Simmons is basically functionally impossible.
Well, you've outlined this tremendously. Look, if anybody does not subscribe yet to Boston Sports Journal, just this piece that you've done today on the Celtics financial situation is worth the price of the subscription alone, because it's fantastic. The bottom line is they're already up against it.
Yeah, they really are. Like, you look at all of the numbers, and look, the salary, the collective bargaining agreement is basically four generations of closing loopholes. So there's all of these mechanisms in place that are just way too convoluted for a 10-minute radio hit for me to mention. But basically, any thoughts of, hey, let's trade this guy and that guy and open up some cap space, there's no cap space for the Celtics this year. There's only, can they manage to get under the luxury tax, or far, you know, close enough to the luxury tax line, even if they're over, to satisfy the owners. And if they have a budget for the tax, that they can find ways to stay within a relatively palatable line for the owners. But if you're looking for, hey, if your question is, can we get this guy via sign and trade? It's probably not going to happen. The Celtics, there's a hard cap involved where if the Celtics use the sign and trade to receive a player, you can sign and trade a guy away, doesn't matter. Mm. But if you receive a player via sign and trade, if you use your full mid-level exception, if you use your biannual exception, just those are just ways that teams over the cap can spend money. If you use the full amount, then you're going to hard cap yourself. And basically the concept is, if you've got a team that's that expensive, you probably have good players. And if you've got that many good players, your team is that expensive, we're not going to allow you to keep hoarding talent, because the NBA's goal is parity across the league. So we're going to make it so once you cross this line, which next year is going to be about $146 million, once your salary is more than that, then you're not allowed to use some of these other mechanisms that some other teams that are over the cap but not that expensive can use. And that again, that is with the goal of making the talent level fairly even. So the Celtics are probably going to be taxpayers. They're going to have to do some good cap gymnastics to get below that if they want. It would involve trading away Tristan Thompson. It might involve not re-signing Evan Fournier. But if they do re-sign Evan Fournier, then forget it. Then it's all about just trying to avoid the hard cap.
Well, I want to ask you about that. We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. It would seem from what I read in your Boston Sports Journal piece that rather than simplifying the Fournier decision, it may make it even more complex.
Yeah, I mean, they say they want to re-sign him, right? Like, it makes it a little bit easier to re-sign him. So if we're taking Brad Stevens at his word and saying, all right, we wanted to move this money so we could re-sign Fournier. Okay, fine. Then you re-sign Fournier if he makes, like, I'm starting it at what he made last year, basically $17.5 million. You sign him at that, however many years, whatever it is, it starts at that. Then they can make it work, but you still have to, like, Tristan Thompson's probably gone in that scenario because you want to stay close enough to that tax line where you're not paying more than 5 to 10 million, you know, or you're not 5 to 10 million over the tax line. So it complicates it in that if you kept Kemba Walker, then you're absolutely not re-signing Evan Fournier. But because Kemba's gone, now you can re-sign Evan at a number that you think works. However, there are other teams out there, as I've mentioned before, with bigger numbers. So you have to plan a non-Fournier plan because if the Knicks come in and give him just a one-year crazy number because they have the cap space to throw around a one-year deal, it doesn't impact them long-term in any way, then the Celtics are kind of, you know, they're in a tough spot. In that spot. So basically, NBA finances are very confusing and it's very difficult. And this is, in all of my analysis, Brad Stevens has an extraordinarily hard job in front of him.
Yeah, and as you say, John, he's not close to being done. He's got a lot of work left to do. But I don't know Brad Stevens, but it seems to me that he'd be the type of guy who would maybe roll up the sleeves and really enjoy the challenge of finding ways to make things work with the restrictions they have.
Yeah, that it does speak to his organizational skills, right? Like, that's, if there's one thing that he is, it's organized and thorough. And so I can see that kind of appealing to him. He's going to have, like, if I were in the NBA and in a front office job like him, I wouldn't even have walls. I would just have a series of whiteboards taped together as the walls in my office. And that would just be just one big calculation of what if, what if, what if, what if. More power to him. I think that he can do it. I think he's got the personality to do it. And the one thing that trading Kemba Walker so quickly proved is, A knowledge between him and everybody in that front office, a knowledge of, hey, if we do this now, then we have a couple of things that work in our favor. One being, you can still trade next year's draft pick. Like, there's a Stepien rule in the NBA where you can't trade two consecutive future draft picks. So if the Celtics took this into the summer, they would have had to trade their 2022 pick. And by trading their 2021 pick, they're still in this 2020/21 business year. The calendar flips when the finals are over and the draft is over. And then, so now the Celtics can trade next year's first round pick as well. So if they do a big deal, they can do that structure of trading every other first round pick and then those pick swaps like Houston has done and OKC has done with other deals. So they understood that doing that saves you some stuff. And also, it's the willingness to trade a guy that was popular in the locker room and a good guy in Kemba Walker, a guy that he coached. So he understands, this is a job that I got to do. These are the things that I need to know about in order to do my job well. And so far, demonstrated a working knowledge. I think he passed his first test.
Interesting offseason, to say the least. John, great to have you here to help us make sense of it. Check out John's work at Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
You got it. I'll talk to you then.
John Corrales on Downtown.